our Dear Corinth series. This is a letter that Paul had went to Corinth, started a church, and then got word that things are not quite going the way he had expected them to go. And so therefore he, you know, went and started writing to them, giving them some instruction. Now, I don't know about you, but there's some times that I've had friends that we've sat down, we've talked about some things, and they're like, okay, yeah, I get it. And then we find out later on, maybe not so well in their execution, and we feel this burden in our heart to go to them and say, hey, you know, we talked about this, and I see this is going on, you know, let's follow up on this. Maybe it's been with your kids. You sit down with your son or your daughter to give them advice, to give them wisdom, and saw that things weren't quite going out the way you thought we had set things to go, and so you kind of follow up. And that's exactly what Paul is doing here. He's giving them instruction. He's planted this church. Now he's moved on, and then his word, so he's coming back to them and say, hey, I hear these things are going on in the church, and I want to just kind of come alongside you one more time to give you some instruction that would be beneficial to you. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 23. So if you have your Bibles, turn there. If you're on your tablet or smartphone, just flip there real quickly. If not, we've got it on the screen for you as well. So follow along as I read this. Paul writes, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the ground of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner, you are to dispose to go. Eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it. For the sake of the one who informed you and for the sake of their conscience. I do not mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but of many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ. The title of today's message is called Pleasing Everyone? Question mark. We've often been heard, we go to a receptionist desk or we go to the DMV or whatever it may be, and they've got a sign that says, I can only please one person a day. Today is not your day, and tomorrow does not look good either. We've all been there. And we talk about, you know, can I really please everyone? People pleasing is considered a downfall. You know, you're just such a people pleaser. If you're a people pleaser, they're going to walk all over you. If you're a people pleaser, they're going to take advantage of you. And yet Paul here at the end of the segment here says, you know, I try to please everyone. So where's this tension at? We have this, what we thought would be wisdom, and then yet through the scriptures, Paul writes something else. Well, verse 23, this is the second time in Paul's writing to the church in Corinth that he uses a phrase like this. He says, I can do pretty much anything I want to do, but just because I can do it doesn't mean I should, or doesn't mean it's beneficial. For verse 24, he adds a little something to that. And in light of that statement, he says, in fact, I can do whatever I want to, but is that the best choice? And in me making a decision, am I looking at what benefits me, or am I looking at what benefits someone else? So yeah, I can do all things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. But me choosing what is beneficial, is it beneficial to me, or is it beneficial to my neighbor? And Jesus had already answered who our neighbor is. So Paul brings up this whole meat thing again. I'm sure the church in Corinth is reading this letter and they're like, ugh, Paul, we got it. Like you, back in chapter 6, like we the whole meat thing, like we got it. We understand it. Like you don't have to do this again. And Paul's probably coming around and saying, well, you know, you think you know, but you really don't know. And Paul has a little twist on it this time. See, the last time Paul brought up about meat, eating meat that was sacrificed to idols, he was talking about someone who is a believer or a weak believer. Now his context is an unbeliever. So he says in verse 27, if one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner and you are disposed to go, eat whatever set before you without raising a question. My question is when we're sitting at that dinner table and we're looking across that person, this is what our mindset should be. Our mindset should be one that says, is you are greater than me. If you have your bulletin, you're filling out your first point, is you are greater than me. If you're thinking about sitting at the table with an unbeliever, your mindset should be that you are greater than me, that that person is greater than you. Their agenda is greater than you. How many of you have ever, don't raise your hands on this, but you've been to someone's friend's house and you walk in for lunch and they have cooked you a meal and they say, hey, we're having shepherd's pie. And your kids go, oh, I hate shepherd's pie. I did that once, to which I realized my ears can stretch really long because my mom picked me up by one of them, carried me to the next room and told me, you will eat shepherd's pie, you will love shepherd's pie, and you will tell them so grateful because it's your favorite meal, and you will eat all of it. You've been there before. My mom usually had those conversations before we went somewhere. Like, she yelled at me before I ever did anything wrong. Like, she assumed that, like, everything I was gonna just wage war on this home, and that was the conversation we had prior to even entering the driveway. And she would turn around with her finger and just like, do I make myself clear? And I was just like, yes, ma'am. I didn't remember what I was saying, yes, ma'am, too, but the answer was yes, ma'am, and I got it right. There was a reason for that. It wasn't because my mom was mean, although at times she was. The truth is, we were walking to someone's home, and we were guests of those people, and we were to honor them. And that you were grateful that they invited us into their home, that we are guests to them. They have cooked us a meal, and we're going to be grateful and thankful for being in this. We're not going to walk in and go, oh, I don't like that, so we're just going to call in a pizza, you know, if you don't mind. What's your address at your home again? Like, that would not work out well for you. And Paul's saying, hey, when you are in a house of an unbeliever and they put meat in front of you, eat without conscience. Eat without thinking. Don't worry about it. We've already discussed the fact that this meat, if it was offered in sacrifice, that because those idols have no power, they're meaningless, that the meat itself has no power in itself. So just eat. So when you're at that table, don't be like, well, you know, I have a meat allergy. You know, well, I believe in this, you know, and so this is my standard, and I'm not sure if you're going to adhere to it. Be thinking about this person who does not know Jesus and know that they are greater than you. Second thing is, in verse 28, Paul writes and he says this, but if someone says to you, this meat has been offered and sacrificed, don't eat it. Okay, why? So if they don't say anything about it, we just carry it on. But the moment I'm fixing to carve into this ribeye, they go, hey, by the way, this was meat from a sacrifice. You have to drop your fork and be like, I can't eat it now. Why? Well, here's the reason. This is now your opportunity to present the gospel. I'll put it in an example like this. A couple weeks ago, we used alcohol as our topic when we talked to this, because I don't know about you guys, there's not really a tension when you go out to lunch and, you know, someone, you order wings, you're at Wingstop, and you're like, oh, by the way, were these wings offered in any kind of a sacrifice while y'all back there in the kitchen? No, sir, not today. Okay, no problem. Thank you very much. And I'll take the atomic sauce then, you know. It doesn't work that way. That's not something we deal with. Those are not tensions in your homes. Those are not tensions in your workplaces. But I was raised in a home where any form of drinking was bad. Now, I found out later it's because my grandfather was an alcoholic and a gambler, and my mom wanted to protect me of the downfall of what that kind of a lifestyle offered her and what it could do to our home, knowing that this is how it was used and abused and didn't want that for our home. Found that out later as I became an adult. But, you know, we look at alcohol. Some people think it's okay. Some people don't think it's okay. But if you're sitting down with someone, they say, hey, by the way, Paul, here's a glass of wine. I just want you to know that this right here is how you make your week go better. This right here, just one glass of this, all your stress goes away. Matter of fact, if you want to relax, this is how you relax. Matter of fact, if you're having problems, all you need to do is have one glass of this and all your problems just go away. Do you see the problem is I'm not just drinking a glass of wine there. This is an answer. This is an answer to a problem. So for me, I would look at anyone, and we do this kind of in our own house, when our kids come up to us and say, I don't feel good. We don't like call the doctor up and be like, hey, my kid doesn't feel good. I'm not sure what's wrong with him, but we're going to take him in. First thing we do is we say, you know, well, we'll pray about it. Here's the Tylenol. You need some rest, and let's pray. Because I'm not going to just medicate myself every time something happens in my life. We're not just going to medicate. We're going to go to the Lord. He's our first line of defense, even in an injury, a sports injury. Man, we're praying. Hey, let's pray right now. That's how we handle things in our house. And so, and for this situation, when this person's offering meat, they're saying, this meat was offered to please a God, and God is going to deliver me from this, or God is going to provide this for me. I want you to partake in this. That's your opportunity to say, you know what, that my God doesn't need me to grill out on the grill for him to be happy with me. Matter of fact, I don't have to keep making sacrifices to make God happy. God made a sacrifice for me. And now I get to live in him and be peaceful under his name because of the blood shed by my Lord and Savior. So I don't sacrifice to God to appease him. God had made a sacrifice for me. I don't think anytime someone comes to you and says, hey, by the way, if you'll just take this, then this is how you solve your problems. Then you're having a stressful time, then you need to drink this because that's how you get rid of your stress. No, Jesus says, cast your cares on me. Take on my yoke, my burden, because that's easy and light. I will walk with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Those are the things that God has provided for us. So when we're sitting at an unbeliever and they say, hey, this is how you cope, or this is how you live through life, or here's an answer on how you do things, we're to say, no, 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 no. That's not actually the answer. Here's the answer. So that's why Paul's saying, hey, if you're sitting around with an unbeliever, they are greater than you. But when you sit at the table and they say, hey, here's the solution, you need to understand that he is greater than you. Looking back at that conversation, I'm sitting at that dinner table and I realize that my God is greater than this person. This person's greater than me, but he is greater than you. There's an opportunity to share truth. When an unbeliever tells you this is how you live life, that's your opportunity to say, no, 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 this is what the scriptures say. So verse 31, basically Paul says, whether you eat or drink, or if you don't eat or drink, whatever you're doing, let it praise God. Our actions should equal to praising God. Our actions, what I choose to do this next week, what I chose to do last week, God should look at that, and that should bring honor to who God is. My actions should equal a worship service. That what I say, do, think, all those things should be in line with the things that would glorify God. And if I'm at a dinner table with someone and I'm partaking and getting to know this person in a relationship and loving and caring for that person, that is honoring God. But the moment they tell me this is how you do life and this is how you get through life and this is the answer to life, I say, no, I won't partake in that because that's not what I believe. This is what I believe. That itself honors God. See, verse 33 says, Paul says, just as I try to please everyone and everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, so that they may be saved. I try to please everyone and everything I do. Now, I've pondered that because we live in a society where the people will tell you, don't be a people pleaser. Don't be a people. They'll walk on you. They'll take advantage on you. You know, they'll twist your agenda. Don't be a people pleaser. I've heard that my whole entire life. And yet I read in scripture and Paul says, hey, I want to be a people pleaser. But there's a context to it. There's a context to it. See, salvation is our goal. If I'm trying to be a people pleaser so you'll just be happy with me, guess what? Yeah, I'm going to get taken advantage of. I'm going to get walked on. I'm going to get stepped on. But if I'm being a people pleaser because I truly understand this is a way for you to understand who Jesus is, for you to get to understand that this is what Jesus has done, Paul says, you know, I'm trying to please everyone so that they may be saved. There's your context. Our mission statement is to lead people to faith in Christ and growth in Christlikeness. When was the last time we talked to someone about our relationship with Jesus? When's the last conversation we had at a lunch table, at across from dinner, over text messages, out the ball field, hanging out after work, whatever it may be? When was the last time we said, here's Jesus, and here's what he means to me, and here's how I like to live my life for him? When was the last time? We showed a video the week before Easter, inviting everyone and saying, if you're part of this church, we would love for you to invite someone to church. My wife and I are pretty heavily involved at the local Little League here. Me and my boys, we umpire. My wife coached teams for many years. We've made a lot of friends through the Little League. But we have a friend that hasn't yet gone to church. And my wife and I kept, going, hey, you need to come to church. You need to come to church. We'd love for you to be here. You know, Paul's now the pastor. You got to at least come and heckle him or something like that. Like, be that guy who stands up and like, boo, no one's going to know who you are. We're just like joking around. Like, come to church, come to church. My wife and I said, hey, guess what? Easter's coming. Everyone comes on Easter. You wouldn't even be recognized as a guest. Like, people won't even know who you are. Just show up. Just like, come on, be here. We talked and talked and talked. We bribed. We cut deals. We did all sorts of things. Y'all think I'm joking, and I'm not. Sure enough, we left Easter Sunday morning. My wife and I were on cloud nine. Matter of fact, I actually was rude to a church member because I went to go say hi to him, and one of the church members walked up to me and said, hey, pastor. And I know joke swim technique this dude like it was a linebacker. Like, not shaking your hand. Boom. Like, passed over him. And I said, I'm sorry. Like, as soon as I did it, I felt so bad. But I just like swam right by him, said sorry, and I walked over and I gave this guy a big old hug. I'm like, so glad to see you. See, the thing is this person may not know who Jesus is. And I'm going to do everything I can to continue to love, care for, serve, and present this is who Jesus, and this is how he means, and what he means to me, to my wife, to my family, to our life. And so if that means I take my agenda in verse 24 that I go and I make sure that I'm not seeking after my own good, but seeking after the good of my neighbor, so be it. If it means that I seek to please this person, I end up mowing their yard, even though they're capable of doing it themselves, and I mow their yard for 6 weeks in a row just for the opportunity to tell this person about how much I love Jesus, and so be it. Because see, here's the thing. If I get walked on, stepped on, trampled on, made fun of, taken advantage of for the gospel, it's worth it. It's worth it. But if I'm doing it so I can get something out of it and I get walked on, stepped on, or trampled on, yeah, I'm going to get hurt. And I'm going to feel lonely. But the very first thing we do is we say we lead people to faith in Christ. When was the last time we had that conversation? We said, this is how much Jesus means to me. It's not that hard. Just last week, I was umpiring a game, and one of the parents made a comment about, well, I'm not sure why you put up with this. His parents are yelling. I said, oh, I'm a pastor. And they're like, oh. I'm like, yeah, y'all got nothing on church people. Everybody kind of, they laughed and that kind of stuff. And it was awesome because they're like, where are you a pastor at? Well, Verde Baptist Church. Awesome. I had a conversation in the splits, probably went too long, but I had a conversation with this lady in the splits, and everyone in earshot got to hear about our children's program, our youth program, what we're doing with mission trip. I was able to have a conversation in the middle of the game about what our church is doing and what we're accomplishing it, and the fact that Jesus is the very center of what we're trying to do and let people know who he is. I had a conversation with one lady, but there were about 20 other people that were just listening. There's nothing wrong with that. You do the same thing in your office. You sit down with lunch and you say, hey, guys, hey, do you mind if I pray for a meal real quick? If a guy says no, be like, okay, no problem. Just don't say it out loud. Your faith needs to be displayed for people to see. And Paul says, you know, this meat thing, we don't get it. I mean, it just does not make sense in 2019. But at this time, Paul decides twice within 3.5 chapters to mention it, to let people know, if you're eating meat and this is what's going on, this is how you handle this. If you're with a believer and they're weak, this is how you do it. If you're with someone who doesn't believe in Jesus, this is how you do it. Why? Because Paul tells us right here in verse 33, I'm going to do all that I can so that they may be saved. So pleasing everyone, if we're putting unbeliever priorities ahead of ourselves and Jesus is clearly seen, then absolutely, absolutely be a people pleaser. And I hope that whatever we should say, we do, or what we choose not to say, or the things we choose not to do, that it praises God. The thing is Paul goes on and says, be imitators of me, if I'm just like I am of Christ. If you don't know what that looks like here, find someone that you trust, that you respect in the faith, and say, you know what? I want to imitate you because I feel like you're imitating Christ. One of the greatest things you can do is go to our Next Steps table, and when we're done here, go to that Next Steps area and just fill out a thing for Life Coach and say, you know what, Paul? I've never had someone walk with me through step by step of what it means to walk with Jesus, and I would love someone to do that with me. Sign up for Life Coach. We have several people who have been through it. We have several people going through it right now. It's a great process to just say, this is what the Bible says, this is how I operate, and this is how I teach other people what the Bible says and how to walk in that. Maybe you're here and you're like, you know, Paul, the best way I can display Jesus clear in my life is to let others know that I've made a decision to follow Christ and I need to let that be known by following baptism. Again, when we're done, go out to the Next Steps area and talk to someone about baptism. There's a card you can fill out and say, hey, I'm interested in being talked to someone about baptism. Maybe you want to join the church. You can talk to one of our deacons down here at the front at the end of the service, or you can go out to the Next Steps area and say, you know, this is what I need to take a next step. If you are leaving the service today and you know you need to take a next step, I promise you, you'll probably find her out there in our Next Steps area. That's why we called it that. Joining the church, baptism, getting involved and serving in a ministry, Life Coach, getting your kids involved in the youth program or the children's program. What's that next step for you? I bet you'll find it by just talking to someone, some of the information out there. As we close today, we're going to close in a time of worship. We've been singing the song, Grace on Top of Grace, as we've kind of been closing to send you guys out. Today, we want to sing that song as a church, as a time of celebration together. And so I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet and let me close this in a time of prayer. And God, there are people that we will be in contact with this week, and they're hard to love. They're mean, they're hateful, they're rude, and it's just hard to love them. But God, let's not be so quick to judge and to throw stones, because if we were to look in the mirror, that there are times in our life we ourselves are hard to love too. And yet you have loved us so freely. And just as you have shown us grace on top of grace, God, let us be a people who will go out and do the same. To be a person that is striving to put other people's needs and agenda ahead of our own. Not worried about if we get walked on, just worried if they will hear the gospel. If we're with an unbeliever, God, let us be mindful that they are more important than we are. But if ever given the opportunity to share the gospel, let us quickly realize that you are more important than any of us. Let us share the good news that has changed our life forever. Now, God, as we worship, I pray that we would celebrate loud of the work you've done in our life. Let us hold back nothing as we declare the truth through song. And it's your name that we pray. Amen.